And so with the need so clearly communicated in the book of Romans, now he explains the way to be justified, faith, sola fide. This is how we are saved, by faith in Christ to receive grace.
Hi, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. If you've been walking with us these past few days, you know that we're in the middle of a challenging and encouraging series looking at key truths that resurfaced in history in a time that historians call the Reformation, some 500 years ago. In fact, that is the title of our series, Reformation 500. And a reminder, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message or to order the entire series, make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.com. All right, now throughout this entire series, we've been soaking in these rich truths of the gospel. Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, and now today, faith alone. Let's jump right into God's word today and Romans 5 with our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
If you believe that you are saved by works, if you believe that you gain entrance into heaven by what you do, if that's your belief system, then this is the question that must follow. Have I done enough? If you believe you are saved by what you do, the question that must necessarily follow is, have I done enough? That's the curse of religion right there. It's a curse. You think what's going on here is religious? It's not. This is relationship. This is relationship. This isn't religion. Religion is cursed because religion is about what's on us. Religion is essentially a faith in self. You got to know that. And not just religious forms that call themselves Christians, all religions across this world. At the end of the day, it's a faith ultimately in self, in what I do to try to please some kind of higher being so I gain access and favor into whatever I believe is next. It's faith in self. It's not faith in Christ. And if our faith is in self and not in Christ, we have no hope. First year I got saved, this simple little book I read, and there's this one part in this book that was such a little gospel tool that just made so much sense of my life, but then also to share my faith with others. It's just this, and you should have heard this before. It just says this: religion is spelled do, D-O. Religion is about what I have to do to be in greater favor with God or whatever it is. But then Christianity is spelled done because it's already been done. Solo Christo. The work is finished. So I don't have to do anything. It's been done for me. It's the relationship. I place my faith and trust and love in Christ. And therefore I have grace that's given to me as a gift. I don't have to do anything. This is a wonderful, powerful, tiny, simple gospel tool for you and I to take with us every day. As we explain to people, as we meet people, everyone has a system of religion, everyone. And everyone thinks it's about what they have to do in one way or another. That's not the gospel. The gospel says it's been done. Now believe. And as we believe, then the fruit that comes from our lives in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not due. This is why we have learned that Martin Luther, before he was truly saved, he was obsessed with his sin. We learned that Martin Luther would spend hours in confession, desperately seeking to uncover any sin that would block his way to God. He would confess for hours and hours, and then he would leave, and as he was leaving confession, he would remember more sins and then rush back and confess again. This got to the point where Luther began to drive his superiors crazy. And finally, one of them said to Luther, quote, "Look here, Brother Martin, if you're going to confess so much, why don't you do something worth confessing? Kill your mother or father. Commit adultery. Stop coming in here with such flummery, empty words and fake sins. Fascinating. But you see, Luther never had peace. He never had peace because his salvation was ultimately up to faith in self. And whenever our faith is in self, self will never prove to be a savior. You know, you think of one of the most popular self-esteem phrases in our world right now. Just believe in yourself. You just have to believe in yourself. Really? No. I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe in this. No. No, that doesn't work. This is no good, man. This is messed up. This is sinful. This is corrupt. This is depraved. This hasn't got me anywhere good ever. I can't believe in this. It doesn't work. Never has, and it never will. What is needed is faith in one beyond this, beyond self. Faith in one who can deliver us, not these man-made band-aid solutions that never work. What is needed is faith in one to actually save us, not temporarily make us feel better about ourselves. Again, it was this massive need and dilemma which would lead Luther to discover through sola scriptura the glorious truth of sola fide. And sola fide says, ultimately, we are justified by faith alone. Faith alone. For that, we turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Please do. Please do today. Change your life. On this 500th anniversary of Reformation Day and Reformation Day weekend, what a beautiful text to turn to. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. And the content of sola fide, justification by faith. It's just right. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us here to this time and this day. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, there it is. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Packed already. Theology everywhere. Can you see it? It's awesome. Through him, Christ. We have also obtained access by faith. There it is again, by faith. You might want to circle those two phrases and draw a line between them for next time you come to this place. Access by faith into this grace. Wow. In which we stand. And we rejoice in hope, notice, of the glory of God. Now what we embark upon just within verse 1, it has been called the material principle of the Reformation. Romans 5:1, building off of all of Romans leading up to this point with the word therefore, we are justified by faith. Justification by faith, the material principle of the Reformation. Why? Why the material principle of the Reformation? Because if you take out sola fide, you have no Christian faith. Because the entire belief system of Christianity is by faith. If you remove faith, you take out the cornerstone, the foundation starts to crumble. If there's no exercise of faith, there's no salvation, because we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the instrument by which we are saved as we place that in Christ and then receive grace. If there's no sola fide, then the living water becomes contaminated through pollution. It doesn't work anymore. There must be faith, justification by faith. This is why Luther would eventually be led to say this: justification by faith is the article that is the head and the cornerstone of the church. You remove sola fide, you undermine the entire Christian faith. Let's just look at our summary in our series thus far. The five solas, again. Sola Scriptura, Christo, Gratia, Sola Deo Gloria, next week. Sola Fide. But see, Sola Fide is that which unlocks the rest. See, this is what you have to see right here. Faith is the instrument or the key that unlocks the other solas, because without faith you cannot see, especially in terms of Christo and Gratia, of course, because faith is placed in Christ, which then faith receives the gift of grace. Without faith, these things are locked. They never truly become aware of Christ alone and grace alone and then living for God's glory alone. It's faith that unlocks the other solas. No wonder Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this takes us then to the unpacking of this beautiful, massively important doctrine, sola fide. For point number one is this. Sola fide, we are justified by faith. Not trying to be clever, trying to be accurate and true and right. Justified by faith. The first phrase we encounter in Romans 5 is what? It's the phrase, therefore, since we've been justified by faith. Now, what Paul is doing here, he is referring to his life-changing argument of the previous three chapters. And in chapter 3 specifically, Paul is hammering out with power the doctrine of justification. He's communicating to his Jewish and Gentile audience this: there is no one who on his or her own is capable of true righteousness. No one can do that. If man seeks to gain favor with God by their own effort, they will fail every single time. Why? Because as Paul explains in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, no one is righteous, no, not one. Is the Bible clear? No one is righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's glory is over here. Humanity is over here. Because humanity has sinned, they will never, ever be able to jump and reach the glory of God. They will always fall short on their own into the chasm of sin, which leads to death. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Romans 3, verse 20 on the screen for you. For by works of the law, again, when people try to suggest the Bible is not clear on these things, let's just really look at sola scriptura for a second, okay? For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. The Bible is so clear. We cannot be justified by our works. And before we go any further, it's vitally important that we all get on the same page, because some of you right now, and rightly so, are asking the question, justification of what? What is justification exactly? And that's a fantastic question, so let's make sure we're all on the same page. Here's a definition of justification. This is massively important. This is beautiful. This is taken from Wayne Grudem. Justification is this, okay? You got to get this, okay? If you don't know this, you got to get this, okay? You got to get this. Rest of your life, take it with you. Be a student of God's word. Learn. It's everywhere in Scripture. You got to know it. It's the instantaneous legal act of God. It's a legal term. Imagine a courtroom. It's an instantaneous, so it's not a process. Instantaneous legal act of God in which he first thinks of our sins as forgiven and as Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, okay? Remember the great exchange? This is the great exchange. Justification is the great exchange. My sin on Christ, his righteousness on me. We say, that's not fair. God's like, I know, I love you so much. This is what I do. When you believe in me, this is what I do. Secondly, justification means that we are declared to be righteous in the sight of God. Before Christ, guilty, deserving of death and punishment. After Christ, born again, converted, justified, we are now righteous, not our righteousness, Christ's righteousness on us. God sees his Son in us. He puts down the gavel, innocent. Sentenced to eternal life in heaven with me in glory forever and ever. Justified by faith. And once we are justified We are innocent then before God. Just think about it. Being justified means God no longer sees your sin. God no longer sees my sin. God no longer sees my sin. That's amazing. And yet this is what justification by faith does. And all my sins placed on Christ. See, justification by faith becomes an astoundingly powerful and awesome doctrinal truth. See, but now we see with greater clarity. Why is Paul taking so much time to communicate this in all these legal terms and some of this language that's hard to understand, yet he goes over it again and again? He does this because no one can be justified in the sight of God by their own doing. It only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. So again, in chapter 3 of Romans, Paul's explaining that all people are in desperate need to be innocent before God because of their sin. And so with the need so clearly communicated in the book of Romans, now he explains the way to be justified, faith, sola fide. This is how we are saved, by faith in Christ to receive grace. Romans 4, 5 on the screen for you. And to the one who does not work. Again, how clear is Scripture? To the one who does not work, but believes in him, God, who justifies the ungodly. Listen, ready? His, her faith is counted as righteousness, justification. Faith, believing in Christ. You are justified. You are counted as righteous because of what Christ has done for you. So Paul is carrying this beautiful argument all the way into Romans 5, verse 1. So look at the first word in Romans 5, verse 1. What is it? Therefore. See what he's doing now? He's got this massive train of momentum, of theological glory. And he's bringing it all along. And he comes to Romans 5, verse 1. The first word, therefore. Therefore, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because therefore, we cannot work to earn our salvation. Because therefore, as we believe in Jesus Christ, we are justified by faith. Therefore, he says, since we have been justified by faith, sola fide. And now you throw this truth in the combination of sola scriptura. Sola fide, justified by faith, and sola scriptura, and the massive beauty of truth. You throw this in the context of the Reformation, and boom, explosion. Explosion of light. An explosion of the gospel. Listen, an explosion that destroys the false gospel of works. Isn't it interesting in the context of Galatians? That Paul says, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. He says it again, the very next verse. If anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. What was the false gospel he was primarily referring to in Galatians? A gospel of works. A gospel of the Jewish people believing they are saved by what they do, as opposed to faith in Jesus Christ. If anyone preaches another gospel, he says, even if I come to you and preach a gospel other than what you're hearing from me right now, if an angel comes and preaches the gospel different than the justification by faith in Christ and receiving grace, let him be accursed. Here's what J.A. Packer says about this all-important truth on the screen for you, these beautiful quotes here. He says this, so where Rome had taught a piecemeal salvation, okay, now think about that. A piecemeal salvation, here's step one of salvation, we got to do this step two to be saved, and step three, you get a little bit more salvation, okay? To be gained by stages through working, this is such a great phrase, a sacramental treadmill. The reformers now proclaimed a unitary salvation. See the difference there? Piecemeal, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, have I done enough? But then the reformers come in, open up God's word, sola scriptura, and say, whoa, 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 solo Christo, sola gratia, sola fide, no, once for all, unitary salvation, all or nothing, to be received in its entirety here and now. How? By self-abandoning faith. See what happens? Forget self. faith now in the promise of God and in the God and the Christ of that promise as set forth in the pages of the Bible. Then Packer went on to say this on the screen. Rome had said, God's grace is great, for through Christ's cross and his church, salvation. Now notice here, so it sounds good so far. You're like, well, God's grace is great, for through the cross of Christ and the church, now is the problem, salvation is possible for all who will work and suffer for it. So come to the church and toil. See, that was the Roman church. You come earn your salvation. You come in and you beg God. You do the work so you can gain favor with God through the things that we've placed before you, which aren't found in Scripture. Packer says, but the Reformer said, God's grace is greater. Greater. Not just great, it's greater. Greater than all. For through Christ's cross and his Spirit, salvation. See that? Christ's cross. And not the church now, the Spirit salvation, Holy Spirit, full and free, full, free, with its unlimited guarantee of eternal joy, is given once and forever to all who believe. I love this line. So come to Christ and trust and take, receive by faith. And you never have to worry again because Christ has done it all. See, therefore, justification is and can only be by faith. And faith alone. Faith, justification by faith in its biblical form is a personal trust and reliance. I trust you fully, Jesus Christ. I give to you my entire life. It's not half of me. Lord, I totally rely on you. I place my everything upon Jesus Christ. Now, within the medieval period, faith was taught as a virtue. Now, see the difference here. So as in my faithfulness or my loyalty to God. Now see the difference there? The faith of the gospel, the faith of Romans 5:1 right here is justified by faith. My entire reliance, I place my faith with outside of me. Jesus, you are my everything. My faith in 100% you. The faith in the medieval church, it was taught, it's subtle. The faith is, no, my faithfulness, my loyalty. So it's actually a faith within. I find myself faithful. I earn my way to God. Two massively different concepts of faith. See, so the words are thrown around, but the meanings are vastly, vastly different. By the way, take a look at what the Council of Trent said on this issue of justification by faith, okay? Now read this carefully. This is what the Council of Trent in the 1500s, as we learned, okay? They said this. And again, this is the hard part for me. They reaffirmed this in the 1960s. It's never been refused or rebutted. This is what the church believes today. If anyone says that the justification received is not preserved and also increased before God through good works. Okay, so if anyone says, sola fide, essentially, if anyone says that justification is just by faith alone and that faith is not both preserved and increased before God through good works, if anyone says that, which is exactly what I'm saying today and the Word of God saying today, okay, but that the said works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained. Okay, so we would say, where do works come in? Works are the fruit of genuine faith in Christ. Works follow. Where there's genuine faith, there must be works. But works do not produce the justification. Works are an indication, the fruits and the signs of true faith in Christ. If you're born again, you start to live like it, okay? So if anyone says that justification are just fruits and signs of justification attained, but not the cause of the increase thereof. If anyone says what we're saying today, let him be anathema. Essentially, if anyone preaches justification sola fide, let him be anathema. And so if you believe that, you are then confined automatically in some form to a system of works. Right? If you believe that you are justified by faith as you prove it and you increase, you preserve it by what you do, then you are caught then in a system of works, which eventually led to the sacramental system within the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church holds to 7 sacraments. Baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, penance, or also known as confession, the anointing of the sick, holy orders or ordination for clergy, priests, and then marriage. 7 sacraments. See, each sacrament was said to dispense grace. But here's the problem. No one sacrament dispensed enough grace to save a sinner. And even worse, no one could be assured of their salvation because no one had enough grace to gain admittance into heaven. So think about that. Earn your grace, but you never earn enough. Earn grace, but you never know if you got enough to get into heaven. So you walk around in this tormented state of never knowing if you've done enough. Now notice how ripe then this would be for the corruption and massive abuse within the church. If we're all sitting here right now and we're unsure if we've ever done enough, in fact, we're sure we haven't done enough, and we're constantly trying to earn grace, just think how susceptible we would all be to the authorities above us that are leading us falsely and not by Scripture. So the people in the Reformation context, the people feel like they're hanging over hell by a thread, and they are desperate to find any way to survive by works. So this becomes a breeding ground for superstition, and I might add, a breeding ground for madness. And part of this madness within the Roman Church were the teaching of indulgences and relics. Okay, for example, in Luther's home during the Reformation, Wittenberg, it was a very small town, it was a pretty small town, but it hosted a stunning collection of relics. Okay, it was worth the pilgrimage to go to Wittenberg. Why? The castle church had 9 aisles proudly displaying more than 19,000 relics, okay? So get this, part of the relics, you could see the following. You could see a wisp of straw from the crib of Jesus. You could see a strand from Jesus' beard. You could see a nail from the cross. You can see a piece of bread from the Lord's Supper. That is impressive.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners, you are so dearly loved. Hey, check this out. It's hard to believe this, but this year marks the 15th anniversary of this radio ministry. Man, that's amazing. We are so excited to celebrate this milestone, and we give thanks to the Lord who has allowed us to exist for this long and to minister to so many. It really is His ministry, and we do look forward with a great anticipation to what lies ahead as we continue to see the gospel go forward and be shared. Now, one way we would love to celebrate this special occasion is to hear from you. That would mean so much to us, our listeners. We would love for you to share how this ministry has both impacted you or touched you over these past 15 years. Hey, would you seriously consider taking some time to write us a note, send us an email, find a way to contact us again? Something maybe specific of how a particular message spoke to you or in a personal way that you've been blessed, right? The Lord tells us to encourage one another, and we would love to do that and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ again in these 15 years of His grace, allowing His gospel to go forward through Live in the Light. So please do let us know. We would love, love, love to hear from you in this way. How do you do this? Contact us through our website, liveinthelight.ca, or call us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. 1-844-225-4448. Again, we are anticipating hearing from you and celebrating with us on our 15th anniversary here at Live in the Light.
Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.